Now we turn in our Bibles tonight to the Epistle of John, the first epistle, chapter 2, if you please. While you're finding the second chapter in the first epistle of John, we would like to state for the benefit of those who have not been with us through the week, we are following a blessed subject, a wonderful theme, God our Father and His family. By way of introduction, repeating some of the main truths that we have covered, we found that it was not until the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came to the earth that there was any revelation made, or known, or could be known, as to that blessed, intimate name of Father in relation to God. Reminding ourselves that in the Old Testament, there were various revelations of God. He revealed Himself in a very progressive way in the history of mankind. But not until the Lord Jesus came could the Father, in that intimacy of relationship, ever be made known. We proved it in Matthew 11:27. When the Lord Jesus said, "No man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it." We've had a great joy in looking at the scriptures in the Gospel of John relative to the revelation of the Father by the life of the Lord Jesus, His words and His work, and particularly and emphatically in completion, the full revelation of the Father's heart and love when He died upon the cross. The words of the Lord Jesus spoken to Nicodemus were greatly and perfectly fulfilled when the Savior said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we've also noted, as we did last evening particularly, how the Father finds His children. We revel in the revelation of that truth. God desired to have a family of children. And as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, to be holy, to be without blame before Him in love. And we saw the way He obtains that family, as John writes in John 1:12, as regard to the person of the Lord Jesus, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, the authority to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now we would like to go to the Epistle of John. May I say, by way of introduction, the Epistle of John is a letter that has been written to the family of God. And one can well recognize it by reading from the beginning to the end of it. The first two chapters may bring before us, and I think they do, the fellowship we enjoy and can enjoy and should be enjoying with the Father. The latter chapters, 3, 4, and 5, will give us the responsibility, what we should be, one to another in the family, as well as how we should live in this world. But tonight we would like to take the subject, a peculiar one, if I may particularly emphasize it, the divisions of the family. There are divisions in the family of God, different classifications. Reading 1 John chapter 2 with me. Let me begin reading, if I may, at verse 12, where we have, and I would just like to read for the present moment, chapter 2, verse 12. And read only through verse 13. John writing by the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to omit the word little in this one verse, if not in the original Greek in this particular verse. "I write unto you," and if I were to transpose it, I would say, John is saying, "I write unto you, my dear children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children. And that is the proper rendering. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father. For brevity's sake, please note very carefully, John is writing to the family by the Holy Spirit, as though writing from the Savior itself as well as the Father. For I'm sure you must remember in the opening introduction of the letter, how John writes saying our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. And John is very concerned, and the Holy Spirit, the condition of the family of God. I'm sure, my beloved, in an earthly family, the proper responsibility as well as concern is for any parent and parents to be concerned about the condition of their children. Oh, may I suggest to you, no one has any greater concern for his children than the Father in heaven above. And John is so writing to them. But now note in verse 12 particularly, there's one thing that is true of all the children. It's got to be, it is true. Look at verse 12 very specifically. I write unto you, my dear children. Why? Because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Beloved, what a joy to recognize every child of God has been forgiven his and her sins. And you're not in the family unless your sins have been forgiven. I hope you're in the family. But recognize, this is a condition that belongs to all of them. Whether, as we shall see, their fathers, so-called, young men, so-called, or little children, just growing up. But all of them have their sins forgiven. Now notice in verse 13, very particularly and quickly. Now he says, I write unto you, and here he makes the distinction. The classification of those who are in the family of God. Now take it in. There are many divisions in Christendom. There's one thing we can all regret if we have any heart for the Lord, that there are divisions amongst the people of God upon the earth. But may I go on record as saying, God never intended that His children should be divided. But in fact, the state, so often it's the case upon the earth. And I say to our disgrace, and to the Lord's dishonor that we are divided. One dear brother I was introduced to said to me, when he found I was amongst the brethren, he said, you must be amongst the united brethren. I said, no, my brother, I'm afraid it's the divided brethren on the earth. But not in God's family. God doesn't believe in that kind of division you've got on the earth. Let me go on record and say it. But He does have a division. And here you have it in the 13th verse. Notice we read it. I write unto your fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children, because ye have known the Father. Now may I say very particularly and emphatically, why the division? Why the classification? Well, beloved, if you've got the same things in your own earthly family. Some are babes, just come into the family. Some are growing up. Some have grown in youth and manhood or womanhood and so on. Your earthly family grows physically. But let me suggest that your God's family should grow spiritually. And these classifications indicate the measure of spiritual growth amongst the family of God. Are you in the family of God? Let me ask you, how long have you been in the family? How much have you grown? For these classifications, the fathers, the young men, the little children, recognize that God acknowledges them. God reveals them to us by His Spirit here. But now let's go further on quickly. For you'll find now, He is writing to each class of people in the family. A message for the fathers, a message for the young men, and a message for the little children. Now let me also add the fact, He has very little to repeat when He writes to the fathers. But He has a little bit more to say and write when he tends the words to the young men. But he has much more to say when he writes to the little children. Please get the perspective, get that perspective in your mind. To the fathers, very little is spoken and written up there. But what is written is tremendous. To the young men, he has to say much more. To the little children, much more still. And I think you see in relation to your earthly family, I think the little kids in the family get more talking to than the old older folks do, don't they? You see, they have need of it. And the young men, they have need of some too, not as much as the little kids. But those who come to maturity, they should know how to take care of themselves. But take that classification, the threefold classification, and see it clearly. Fathers, young men, little children. And God is writing of such in relation to his family. Now let's know what he says to the fathers. In fact, he doesn't say anything in addition to that. If you know, look in verse 13. Let me just read what he has declared about the fathers, and you'll find it repeated practically word for word in the next verse. I write unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Now look at verse 14. I have written unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. Now please recognize something. John is really acknowledging to those fathers, I can't add anything to you. You've gone along so well. You've matured so blessedly. You know him. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. As you read John at the beginning, go to chapter 1, please. Let me begin notes with you, verses 1 and 2 and 3. For here is what John is referring to. That which we, from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. Let me stop there. And let me point out to you very carefully. Remember now, in the opening of the Bible, you've got in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember, if you recall, John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. Where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But that's not what John is referring to, neither one of those. So you please note, John is referring to what he, with his companion disciples, had heard and seen when the Lord Jesus began his ministry upon the earth. Let me read it carefully. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and if you read the Gospel of John chapter 1, you'll find that Andrew and John were the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. And John is declaring, we heard him, we saw him, even gazed upon him intently, and our hands handled him. Can I pause worshipfully to realize the privilege that John with his companions of those early days of the discipleship of Jesus when he was on the earth. They had with the blessed Lord. They heard his voice. They saw his blessed face and person. They gazed upon him with intense interest. And then do you remember what he said after he rose again? Handle me and see. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me now. And they have. And he goes on to say, what we've seen and heard, that we declare unto you, the one who's the word of life. Now go back to our second chapter. And you can recognize what John is implying here. As you said, he said to the fathers in verse 14, I've nothing more to say unto you. You have known him. The thought is this. My beloved, are you saved? The moment you're saved, your ambition should be immediately, I want to know my Savior better. I want to know him more. And these who are called fathers, whether brothers or sisters, as the case may be, it's a spiritual class. justification for a brother and a sister who goes on to know Christ? Can I give you my personal experience? I look back to the time that the Lord saved my soul. And I know where I was. I didn't realize it. I think maybe the folks around me thought I made a pest of myself until one dear old lady, a very strict old maid, she took me and she said, "Johnny, there's such a thing as people having too much religion." She wasn't a Christian. I knew that. Well, when she said that, "There's too much religion, John." I thought, I never heard it that way. I scratched my head. I said, "Let me tell you how I feel. I was only a young fella, perhaps 16, a little more." I said, "Let me tell you how I feel. I don't know much about religion, but I feel I'll never get too much of Christ." My beloved, it's going on to know Christ more. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And as Paul prayed and said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him. Please, let me encourage you. If you're saved, get to know Christ more. How? Through his word and fellowship with him and walking according to his truth. And these were fathers who had done so. In fact, in the language that is in the original text, it implies they were still going on. There's no stopping place. Dear Saint said to me one time, many years ago, maybe about 50 or more, she said, "Mr. Bramall, what school did you go to?" When she heard me preach on one occasion, I looked at her and said, "Sister, please, I'm still in school." My beloved, please let me say, oh, be like Paul and pray, oh, that I may know him. They went on knowing Christ, growing, developing. For it is the spiritual development, the growth of the soul. Now let's look at the young men. Very quickly in verse 13. He writes, "As I've written unto you, young men." Please note, they were strong. They were going on good. Wonderful, strong in their spiritual life. How did they do it? Because of the word of God which was in them. And I'm sure you realize very quickly you can't grow without the word of God. It's the word of God that feeds the soul. And Peter once stated, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And these were young men going on well, strong, not only as their strength was in the word of God which abode in them. Let me please encourage my fellow Christian. Young, if you're a young man, as it were, in this category, going on well, abide in the truth. Keep on keeping on. Remember, Paul wrote to Timothy, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." And then there was a third characteristic about them at the end of that verse. "You've overcome the wicked one." They overcame the wicked one, the devil himself. And what a joy. My beloved, please. I'm sure we all remember how the Lord overcame Satan. When you read in Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, of the temptations of Jesus, he met the adversary with the word of God and quoted the scriptures as Satan attacked him. My beloved, let me suggest to you, as well as to mine own heart, the best sword and the only sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And these young men had overcome the wicked one by their testimony. But there were two dangers. Please note them in verse 15. "Love not the world. Second, neither the things which are in the world." May I stop for a moment? Meditate with it. There's a great danger. Why the exhortation, "Love not the world"? Well, let me give you one example. You find it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Paul, the apostle, had to write to one of his fellow laborers, a man who had labored with the apostle in his work and been greatly used of God. And yet, near the end of it, of Paul's life, Paul had to write, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." It doesn't say he sinned. It doesn't say he went into immoral sin. He loved the present things of life. Let's read on. not only not to love the world, you're affected. Beloved, please let me put it this way. Where should the love of the Christian heart be? Upon the Lord, and upon our Savior, or upon the... Listen, you cannot serve two masters. As Jesus said, you'll either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. And I commend to my dearly beloved young men and women, if you're going on for the Lord, beware of the danger. The world is run by sin. Well, let's read on. Not only the world, it's just the things that are in the world. We can be occupied with many things. But then please note further. John goes on to say what it means. If any man love the world, if my heart goes out for this world as the main interest and desire of my heart and life and the things that are in it, please note. He goes on to say, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, he didn't say the Father doesn't love you. He didn't say that. But he said, you're not enjoying the love of the Father. You're not enjoying the love of the Father. My beloved, every earthly father, any father that is here, is filled with delight in his heart to see his children go on the way he would like them to go. And his heart delights in them to see them going on that way. Can I say it humbly? And it's nothing, I do not say it for any glory of my own. But I am grateful for my children. Children? My goodness. They're both retired, almost reaching 70 now. But I'm grateful they went on for the Lord. The greatest joy I have in my two children that God gave me. They went on for the Lord. I couldn't ask anything better. Greater. The Father says, I want my children to go on for me. Love not the world. Now see what he says about the world. In verses 16 and 17. For all... Now let me say this. Look. Many a time, some young Christian may want to try the world. See how much he can enjoy of it. See what it's like. Listen, you read your Bible and you'll find out what the world's like. And you won't have to go out into it to find it out yourself to your sorrow. The Bible will tell you what the world's like. Here it is. John's telling the family, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And in verse 16 he says, for all, not something, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, the joy of knowing God tells us what the world's like. I don't have to go down the street to find what the world's like. I can see and listen, I know. I don't have to go down there to find what it's like. God will tell me. My Father will tell me. My Father said, here's my word. I wonder, what did the Lord Jesus say to the disciples in John 16 when he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And not only that, he wandered in chapter 15. About the world hateth me, and it also will hate you. May I say kindly, lovingly, and emphatically, my fellow believer, don't get your heart on the world. For the world's under the domination of Satan. The Lord Jesus called him Prince of this world. Prince of this world. Paul wrote him as the God of this age. John writes in his epistle at the end, the whole world is in the hands of the wicked one. There are some Christians that are real Christians that teach that the devil has been bound in the bottomless pit already. One dear friend in my Bible class, I recall in Charlotte some years ago, came to me with a sad story to tell of a Bible teacher in her own place where she attended, that the man was teaching the devil was already in the bottomless pit. You know what she said to him? She said, well, if he's in the bottomless pit, he sure's got a pretty long chain. He sure has. He's not loose. He's not bound. He's loose. Until the day comes when he will be bound. That's the world. And there's two things in it. Lust, pride. Lust, what I want to get out of it. And then when I get it, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. Oh, that's the world. Let me emphasize the end of that verse, or the verse 17 rather. But the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, thank God. The one who does the will of God abideth forever. The will of God. Oh, my fellow believer, may I say to your heart as well as to mine own, there's no greater joy, there's no greater devotion that you could make to the God who redeemed you by the dear Son of His love than to do the will of God. Let me quote Romans 12, 1 and 2 quickly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. My fellow believer, my young believer particularly, and here's John pleading with the young men that are strong. Don't love the world. It's a danger. And it's a trap and a snare. Oh, my beloved, there's many a dear Christian, whether man or woman, that has set his and their heart upon the world and the things of the world in such a degree, they have refused to do the will of God. Oh, let the will of God be the focal point and purpose of your life for His glory. Now I want to say a little word as John writes to the little children very briefly. Now he writes much more from verse 18 all the way down to the verse 27. The last verse of the chapter really belongs to the next one. But he writes from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Little children. And he has a lot more to say to them. Now you may raise the question, why did John write so much to the little children? Fast babes in Christ, the young in Christ, haven't reached the maturity of spiritual maturity of young men, had not reached the maturity of fathers, but they were in danger. Let me read, if I may, quickly. Begin at verse 14, and begin round to verse 18, and let me notice with you these words. Little children, it's the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Notice what John does. He points out a danger that little children, young believers, can fall into. Following men that may come in the church even, but lead them astray. Men that were against Christ. Men who were against the Lord Jesus. And now all you need to do, you can do more than this, but if you just read the Epistle of Jude, and Jude is writing to the church of that day long ago, and he just tells them that strange men have crept in the unawares in the midst of you, and they're teaching wrong things. The danger of little children, they can listen to wrong teaching. Let me give you this advice. I hope you take it. I do not advise any young believer to study false religions. Different cults. Why? Study your Bible and get built up in that. For many a time a young Christian has been led astray by following some other cult. Or even some professing Christianity. Oh, beloved Lord, let's go down the chapter, please. I want you to notice down the chapter, verse 26, in connection with that same truth. John says, these things have I written unto you concerning what? Them that seduce you. My beloved, there's a strange sin that is taking place in our country today. I'm speaking literally. I never noted it before in all my life of nearly a century that little children today are more in danger of being seduced from their parents by wicked men. John's saying, look, in God's family, you'll be careful, little children. There are many that can seduce you by their false teaching. Now let's look what John goes on to say. I want you to know, for he's spoken very frank, that's their danger. But please let me very briefly point out to you how they can be safe. As we go down this chapter, please let me go, let me go down, if I may, from verse 20 to verse 20 where we were. Please note, verse 20 and 21. But you, little children, you have an option. From the Holy One, you know all things. I'm not written unto you because ye know not the truth, because ye know it, and there are no liars of the truth. Now please remember, John in preceding verse, in verse 13 particularly, he emphasized the little children knew the Father. And if you're a young baby in Christ, will you rejoice and know and enjoy the fact every child of God, no matter how small, and how little in their age they may be, as far spiritually, they know the Father. But then on top of that, he said, you've got an unction. That unction is the person of the Holy Spirit. Go down the chapter, please. I want to emphasize it again. You have it down the chapter, verse 27. Please let me notice. I want you to note the words. John is referring to the presence of the Holy Spirit. My beloved, let me repeat. We repeated it before this week. Everyone born in the family was born by the Spirit of God, and upon believing, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Now know these words. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And note the next word. Ye need not any man that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and it's truth, and it's no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now, beloved, please let me say, John is not inferring that I shouldn't be teaching the word of God, but is inferring, no matter what dangers you face, in the way of being seduced away from the truth, every one of you little children possess the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He will lead you. Let me give you an illustration. A dear old brother, many, many years ago, I would imagine back about 60 to 70 maybe, I remember him telling when as a boy, this preacher lived in the country of the hillside of the old country of Scotland. And the family had a family cow. Everybody around had their family cow. The cows were privileged to go around the whole hillside wherever they went. But every cow had a cowbell on it. And when his daddy tell him at the evening time, when it's time for the cow to come back home and be milked, he said, go and get the cow. Find the cow. You know where to find it. But he listened for the cowbell. For he had a special note, a special tone that he would recognize. That's our cow. And he'd go out listening, and he'd hear some other cowbell. He'd listen carefully. Oh, that's not my father's cowbell. And may I say to you, you better be careful. Let him that appears to hear be careful what he hears. There's a lot of preaching going around today that's not my father's cowbell, if you please. And John is saying, don't listen to that. What you know, what you have heard, don't let anybody take it away from you. And please know what he says at the end of verse 27. Let me please emphasize it. The same anointing teaches you, I know, of all things. And I just commend to you, we don't have the time to go into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, read from verse 7. 6, in fact, all the way down. And you'll find in that second chapter of 1 Corinthians that you and I have a teacher that knows everything regarding the things of God. It's the Holy Spirit. And he has been given to us that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Can I say in word of testimony? Asking a dear old brother from England in my early days, I would say back in 1921 about, regarding my future pursuit of the Word of God and the knowledge of it, I frankly asked him about, should I go to this particular Bible school? There was a prominent one, a fundamental one. But I never forget what that brother did. He put his hand on my knee as we sat together on the swing of the porch. He said, boy, you'll never have a better teacher than the Holy Spirit. You'll never have a better teacher than the Holy Spirit. My teacher knows everything. And he's willing to reveal them unto me. But I have to be a good student. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now let's close, if I may, with verse 28. Where the beloved apostle goes on to say, and there now he addresses all the family. You can cross the word a little out. I write unto you, my children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Oh, my beloved, may I say in closing, as we sang tonight, the Lord Jesus is coming back. What for? To get the whole family. And may I ask the question? I ask it in my soul, my heart, my conscience. Will I be ashamed before him at his coming? Will you ask it of your own heart? Beloved, here's the family. If you're saved, you should develop and grow. Whether a little children, grow and develop to young men. If young men, grow and develop to become fathers, spiritually mature in the knowledge of the Savior. God grant. I guess you'll agree you ought to have the best family anybody ever had, don't you think? How you feel about it? Are you the best one he's got? Oh, God grant, we'll see our place before our Father God in the family. Shall we bow in prayer? Blessed Father, as we come to the close of our study, knowing that some of the dear ones desire to go and express their sympathy and love to the dear one, Lord, who has lost a husband and the families have lost a father and loved one. We thank thee. We've been able to speak of thy family. Father, young men, little children. We don't know the category of each one here. You know, Father. But there's one thing this, Lord, we ought to know. You want us to grow up. Lord Jesus, may we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, more and more, till the roll is called up yonder and will not be ashamed before him at his coming. We ask it as we dismiss, praying thy blessing in our Savior's precious and worthy name. Amen. My beloved, may I say in closing, what my mother always told my brother and myself when we go out together sometimes. Every time we went out the door, we heard mother say, now don't forget whose children you are.